Morning, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The title of my message this morning, no, we're not going to talk about the book, but the power of positive thinking. You know, in this world today, we have a lot of things going on, and it's hard to get by the view. It's hard to get by the visuals that you see on TV. It's hard to get by what you hear on the radio. It's hard to get by what you have on the internet. It's hard to see God. It's hard to stay positive in a negative world. And we are living in a negative world today. But God's got all the answers in His book. And we can choose to have the power of the positive things of God in our life. We can choose to follow them. So we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4, the first 8 verses, verses 1 through 8 of this chapter. Before we go and we look at God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, I just thank You, Lord, that You just help, that You help us, Lord. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for all the promises You've given us. Father, I thank You, Lord, for being able to come to Your house today, Lord, and worship You. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You show Your will. Father, help us, Lord, not to be in Your way. Father, I pray that You just take away all distractions. Father, I pray that You bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, help us, Lord, to learn the truth of Your Word today and apply it to our lives. And we just thank You and we ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 and 8, the text this morning says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eurodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And this should be a very familiar passage. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." In the way of introduction, most of us can only think of one thing at a time. My wife has a bad habit. And that habit is that when I'm driving the car, she gets a picture on the phone and she says, "Look at this." Or I'm backing out this morning and she says, "Here's the change from the money that you gave me last night." I don't want that. Now I'm driving the car. Because I can only think of one thing at one time. You know, try it and see. Go home tonight and or today and try to add up a whole bunch of numbers while you're trying to watch TV at the same time. If you have divided attention, you're going to do both of those tasks poorly. It's one of the problems that we had, that I experienced in training pilots for the Air Force, is that we had some people that all they could do was listen to the radio and not fly. Some people could only fly and not listen to the radio. That doesn't work that way. You have to multitask. Now, multitask is different. You can do two things at the same time, but not thinking of two things at once. One has to be kind of from rote. The other one you can kind of pay attention to. There are a few people that psychologists call multi-channeling. That they can actually do, listen and do two things, thinking about two things at one time. But that's not the bulk of it. I guarantee you it's not me, and it's probably not you either. So Paul writes about this and he says, look, we need to start thinking on one thing at a time. What type of things do you think about? And I didn't fix it, and I know there's a missing word in there, but you got it. Okay, what type of things do you think about? You know, the Bible says it's a choice that we make. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, it says this: For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind or think about or do the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We can't be a push-me-pull-you. We can't have one head go towards the carnal things of the world. We can't have the other head go towards God. You got nowhere. And you don't do what God wants us to do. It says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the issue is that we typically think of one thing at a time. That's why Christ says, Let your eye be single. He says, if your eye be single and you're focused on the right thing, your whole body will be filled with life. That's why Paul writes, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's why John writes, love not the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We have a choice. We have a choice. Christ said, you can't serve two masters. Because you'll respect one and you won't respect the other. So what type of things do you think about? You know, the Bible teaches that we need to renew our mind. If I could get you to have a mind change this morning to think more on God, that I've accomplished my task. You know, God's Word will not come back void. It will do its intended purpose. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, most people know this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. You have to take an effort to do this. A lot of people think that Christianity comes by osmosis. Hey, it didn't work in algebra. Putting an algebra book under your pillow didn't help. Okay? May make your pillow a little bit firmer, but it's not going to get you through algebra. Same thing here. We need to apply our minds to what Christ says. For be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's a choice. If you are conformed to the world, you are not proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You need to have your mind aligned with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, it says, And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's something that we have to work at. It's something that we have to keep. So the Bible teaches that we need to renew our minds. Our passage this morning basically tells us what we should concentrate on. And the power of positive thinking in these areas of our life. The first one is, in verses 1 and 2, we see that we need to concentrate on the believer's social life. It says in our passage, it says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. You know, the believer's social life is that we're supposed to act like family. You know, we used to sing the family of God after services here. You know, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, okay? True. Once you're all in Christ, we're all part of one family. But the issue is we need to act like family. He says, I want you, therefore, my brethren, okay? Brothers and sisters in Christ, dearly what? Beloved. I'm not going to go in here and talk about love today. The issue is if we're all Christians, we ought to act like we're all Christians. Amen. We all act like we're all part of God's family. We're all got the same heavenly Father. The second thing is, in our social life, is that we should make others want to be around us. It says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and what? Longed for. You know, there are people, and you know them too, that you don't want to be around. When you see them coming through the door, you go, oh, here we go again. Or the phone rings and you see that on caller ID. And you say, oh, I don't want to go down that road. Okay? The issue is that you when you talk to somebody else? See, we need to act like family and we need to make others want to be around you. You know, Christ was doing all these things. He had great crowds. Okay, Christ says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So the first thing is that we need to act like family here in verse 1. The second thing is, we need to be longed for, my joy, my crown, basically want make others want to be around you. The third thing in this verse is that we should stand fast in the Lord. We should stand fast in the Lord. You know, we keep on talking about having a biblical worldview. We need to look at everything through the prism of the Bible. We need to look everything through the lens of God's eyes and say, if this is consistent with God, we ought to do it. If it's not consistent with God, we should not do it. Amen. And the issue is that we should stand fast in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, only let your conversation. Now, that's not just what we talk about. That is our way of life. That is our lifestyle. That's how we act at work. That's how we act with our family. That's how we act in church. That's how we act in HEB. That's how we act when someone cuts us off on the road. Okay? Let our conversation be as what? As it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know, Paul was committed to this. He says, I don't want to know anything among you except what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, necessity is laid upon me. Oh, woe if I don't preach the gospel of Christ. He says, I'll be all things to all people, so that by some means I may win some. See, the issue is Christ, Paul was looking for opportunities, and his lifestyle gave him opportunities to share the gospel. Do your lifestyle give you opportunities to share the gospel? That's standing fast. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may what? Hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. See, Paul writes in Romans, he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of mind. You can prove what is the perfect will of God. Paul writes to the church here, he says, look, he says, the most important thing is that you stand fast in the gospel. The most important thing is that your social life mirrors your spiritual life. That you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, one of the things that kind of bothers me at times is Facebook. Now, I don't have a Facebook account, but I know people who have Facebook accounts, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you use it for the right reason. But I tell you what, be careful what you like. Be careful what you pass on to somebody else. Because there are Christians that pass on things that are not appropriate to other people. They are contrary to God's word. And folks, if you see that, you should not do that. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. See, that's how you can be separate. That's how you can touch not the unclean thing. But you know something? We're supposed to act like family. We're supposed to want others to be around us. We're supposed to stand fast in the Lord, but you know, not everybody does it. Not everybody does this. You know, I find it interesting that Eurodius and Syntyche are called out forever as not having the same mind, not following God. Okay? There's some other names in here, but those are in a positive sense. Oh, if God looked down at you right now, would you be in that verse? Folks, we need to think positively about our social life and our social interactions, because we can be a positive influence in a negative world. We can be a positive influence in a negative world. So act like family. Make others want to be around you. Stand fast in the Lord. And really, really want to. And don't be a negative example. Be a positive one. Amen?
Amen.
In verses 3 and 5, we see the second thing that we need positive thinking in. And we need to be a positive influence in the world. It's our spiritual life. If we're positive about people, we want to be helpful. In verse 3, it says, "And I treat thee also, true yoke fellow, help." Help. You know, we are the eyes and ears of Christ. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. We are the ministers of Christ. Our spiritual life, if we're looking at this from a positive perspective, should make us helpful. But with the right type of help. You know, have you ever had people that come to help you and in reality be more of a hindrance than a help? I think the greatest example is Job. Job had all these things come to him, and then his friends come to cheer him up. And all the help they said to Job is, "Job, all these bad things happen because you're a bad person." And it just wore down a person that was already broken in the first place. And folks, when we want to be helpful, we need to come with the right type of help. And then secondly, with the right type of goal. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We see here in verse 1, here that we're supposed or talk about being a family for the gospel's sake. We need to be helpful for the gospel's sake too. And that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is what? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If you have that viewpoint, you'll be the right type of help at the right time, at the right place. And you'll have the same goal in mind. This passage here says, it uses a picture of yoke fellow. It actually gives a picture of, you know, an oxen. When you take and you go out and you plow a field with oxen or mules or whatever the case may be, what do? You put a yoke on them so they what? Go the same direction. So they go the same. He says, I want you to be a true yoke fellow here. So you need to do it with the right type of people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." You can't do spiritually things when you're entangled in unspiritual yokes. It won't work that way. "But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" So in verse 3, we see that if we're trying to be a positive influence, we need to be helpful. The second thing is we need to be happy. A positive person will be happy no matter what's going on. It's a result of the relationship with Christ. Verse 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord." Fill in, "always, and again I say, rejoice." See, Paul wants to get the point across here. He says it twice. You know, if you have a relationship with Christ, you've got the gift of heaven. Amen. You've got the promises of heaven. You have a hope that will not be taken away. You have all these things here. Psalms chapter 146, verse 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." You know, there's a reason to stay happy. We choose to be happy or not. We make that choice. We choose to look at the bright side of things or the dark side of things. We choose to be helpful or we choose to be hurtful. In Romans chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes, he says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven." Or you could say, "Happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." You know, when things aren't going right, you can still be happy that you're going to heaven. Amen. When things aren't going right, you can still be happy that you don't have a sin debt anymore. You know, there's always good because every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, where there is never a shadow of turning. And so the issue is that there's a reason to be happy. It says, and again I say, rejoice. So are you rejoicing in God this morning? When you got up this morning, did you say, oh, it's just another day, or this is the day that the Lord hath made? I will rejoice and be what? Glad in it. So, our spiritual life should be helpful. Our spiritual life should be happy. And then lastly, our spiritual life, it makes him holy. It makes him holy. It says, let your moderation be known unto how many men? All men. The Lord is at hand. Now the word for moderation here, in another translation, it might be rendered as gentleness. Okay? Might be rendered as gentleness. See, the bottom line is, it should make us look like Christ. So to be holy is to be like Christ. Be holy even as I am holy. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and then gentle. The word for gentle here is the exact same word used for moderation in verse 5 of our text. So we're supposed to have the wisdom of God. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to have all these things that make us look like Christ. And what? Easy to be entreated. Remember, you want others to be around you. That's making it easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits without what? Partiality and without hypocrisy. That's sometimes our problem. You know, Christ, or James says this in chapter 2 of the book of James. He says, have not the faith of God with respect to persons. What does it really mean? It says, if you are Christ and you follow God, you can't be prejudiced. You can't pick and choose who you will share the gospel with just because they look different or they smell different or they dress different. The issue is that we need to be like Christ in all things. Okay? Easy to be treated without partiality and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Because if we say, I love Jesus, what does the Bible say in John, 1 John? He says, if you say you love God and you don't help your brother, how does the love of God work in your life? Paul tells Titus in Titus 3, verse 2, it says, to speak evil of no man. Okay? To be no brawlers, but what? Gentle. Same word again. You know, it's a hard lesson for us all to look beyond one another's faults and see the soul and see the worth of people as Christ sees. That's to be like Christ. That's to love like Christ. You need to see beyond the things that may irritate you and understand that Christ died for them too. Understand that you could be a help to them. You need to show your happiness to them. Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing what? All meekness unto all men. So in our spiritual life, we need to be helpful. We need to be happy. And we need to be holy, to be near Christ. It says here, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, you could look at this two ways, but this is not a Lord is at hand in a time sense. This is Lord is at hand in a physical presence sense. God's near. God's here today. Amen. Let Him work in your heart. See Him for who He is. Hear the words that He gave Paul. And let it affect our lives. Psalm 145 verse 18 says this. It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in what? Truth. In truth. So, we need to be positive in our spiritual life. We need to be positive in our social life. Thirdly, we need to be positive in our secular life. We need to be looking for God. It says here in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing. Let's say, don't worry about it. I just put it in the right thing. What God's saying here is don't worry about it. A couple weeks ago on Sunday night, we talked about taming tension. We used Matthew chapter 6. And the issue there was people were worried about what food they were going to eat, what clothes they were going to wear, and where they were going to spend. And Christ said, don't worry about it. God knows what you need. Later on in Philippians 4, it says, but my God shall supply all your what? Needs. According to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He says, don't worry about it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added on you. And then he goes on, he says, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Here's a lot of people that worry. You know, when you have a challenge, give it to God. But you know, we try to solve it all our own, and we stay up at night and we work our fingers at the bone. We work everything. We just try everything to do to try to make things work. But look at what Psalm says. Psalm 127 verse 2, it says, it is vain, it is worthless for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For He giveth His beloved sleep. See, this issue of be anxious or be careful for nothing is an issue of trust. Can you trust God's wisdom? Can you trust God's power? Can you trust God's provision? Can you trust His direction? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your what? Own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your paths. See, we need to be like the psalmist in chapter 1. In Psalm 1 verse 2 it says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. See, we need to be looking for God in all things. He says, be careful for nothing, but in what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then we need to live for God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do what? All for the glory of God. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The Bible says, cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Trust in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. Those are all things in the Bible. Why do we try to take matters in our own hands, knowing that we're going to fail and not give God a chance? See, the issue is we need to, if we think this way and we try to do it ourselves, we don't have a positive outlook about God. We say, God can't solve my problem until it's too big for me. Let God solve the little things. He cares about all those things. So, we need to be positive in our social life. We need to be positive in our spiritual life. We need to be positive in our secular life. And the reason is we stay positive in our secret life. In verses 7 and 8, in verse 7 it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here's the point. We need to let the peace of God come in, and it will keep your hearts and minds. It'll keep peace in your life when somebody does cut you off and almost make you wreck. It'll keep you peace of God when you go to the store or go to the restaurant thinking it's going to be open and it's closed. And it said it was going to be open. Or when somebody, when you try to order and they look at you and they turn their back on you and go, or you go out after you do that and you find you have a flat tire. in 105 degree heat. And then your tire is low. It takes you five gas stations to find air. And a couple swipes of the credit card too. But the issue is that we can have peace with this. You know why? Because it's the gift of God. It's a gift of God. In John 14, verse 20, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Neither let it be afraid." Proverbs says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The secret life is an issue of our heart. See, we could be positive in our heart and have light there. Or we could be negative in our heart and have darkness there. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and we went through love a couple of weeks ago, "but joy," and then what? Peace. Peace. It is what God gives. It is the gift of God. And then that leads to long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. See, it's a gift also to be used. It's a gift also to be used. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of God," what? "Rule in your heart." So it's one thing to know something, but it's another thing to apply it. How many scriptures do you know, but how many scriptures do you actually live? Okay? How many scriptures do we apply in our lives? "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye," what? "Thankful." So the first thing is one of peace. The second thing is one of purity. You know, all of verse 8 can be wrapped up in this. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So the issue of virtue is about moral excellence or about purity. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Moreover, he must have a" what? "Good report." We're supposed to have a good report. What's on the inside will show on the outside. You know, Christ told the Pharisees, he says, "Don't clean the outside of the cup, clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will be usable." That's the whole point. Out of the issue of the heart is where your life is. And so, "Moreover, he has to have a good report of them which are" what? "Without." See, there's one way that we act. Do we act one way in church and another way out there? Do we say one set of words here and then another set of words at work? Do we act differently to our families here than we do at home? So the issue is that we need to live the peace of God rule in our hearts, and then we basically have a good report of them without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then the other thing is we need to have a life of praise. It says, "If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Psalm 57, verse 7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." You know, Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail at midnight, chained up to a wall, did what? Sang. They sang. Probably woke up all the prisoners. But then an earthquake happened. And the Philippian jailer got saved. Amen. And his family got saved. Folks, our secret life should come out. What's in your heart right now? Is it Christ? You know, someone once has said, "Sow a thought and reap an action. Sow an action and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap an eternal destiny." Same principle as in the old proverb of this. "For want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe," or lack of a shoe, "a horse was lost. For want of a horse, a man was lost. For want of a man, a company was lost. For want of a company, the battle was lost." We all have a necessity to be positive in our lives. If you're around negative people, you'll be negative. If you're around positive people, you'll be positive. If you want brown people that glorify God, you'll glorify God. That's where we should be. That's what we should be. We should be people that lift up God and show a difference. As Jude says, on some having compassion, what? Making a difference. To make a difference, you have to be different. So how are your thoughts today? How are your thoughts in your social life? Does it have a Christian view? How's your thought in your secular life? How's your spiritual life? How's your walk? What's down here? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the first part says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So is he. This is a choice that we all have to make. You can't do any of this unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. God sent his Son to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in place of man, of a murderer, to represent all man's sin. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day rose again. He paid the sin debt. The penalty of sin is death. He paid that debt for you. And he rose again the third day. So he has power over death. Therefore, power over sin. The power to forgive sins. And the power to give eternal life or heaven to anyone who wants to believe. Amen. If you do that, you can be like this. You'll be a believer. If you don't do that, this is not going to work. You can try real hard, but since it's not from the heart, it's not going to take. For us Christians, where's our thoughts today? We should be on God. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to live for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.